Thank you, Mike. Okay, good to have my wife sitting next to me this morning. Yeah, I tell you, I have missed her. She was so excited about driving the car for the first time, and she drove herself here this morning. And yeah, and boy, that was easy. Easy. Anyway, and you know, you might wonder, okay, what would be the thing, the motivation for her wanting to drive the car for the first time? And Lily said, oh, she wants to take me to school. Amber said, oh, she probably wanted to go to Starbucks. You know, me, oh, she wants to go to church. No, none of those. She wanted to go have her car cleaned. That's what it was. And then after it was cleaned, she said, you can't drive it anymore. So good to have her back in form again. We're coming to the conclusion of a series in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's so interesting, the stuff that Jesus says at the end of these three chapters, that it kind of throws you back a little bit. Now remember, he's talking about the attitudes, stuff that is on the inside in our relationship with God, and God working in us, an attitude of life, but more than just an attitude, but an effect of something of the Spirit of God within us, that we're pure in heart, that we're merciful, and that we're peacemakers. And those three things, attitude, the fruit of our life, that begins to happen in our life, and then the things that work out from that. You know, how we begin to treat people, and we even love our enemy. It's because of something that is taking place with our life. But the problem is, he's talking to some people who were there, scribes and Pharisees, who it was just the opposite. They were trying to work it out here by rules and regulations, by the law, into pleasing God. But Jesus was making it very clear that, no, you can't please God that way. It is only by something that is happening in the inside. And so he upped the law. He really didn't up the law, but it sounds like he upped the law. You heard it said, thou shalt not murder. I said, don't become angry with your brother. It sounds like he takes a bigger step. But he goes right to the core of mankind. Right to the basic of who we are. And a very selfish people. Live for self, serve self. We don't think a lot about other people. And one of the reasons why we become angry is because things that people do toward us, or things that they take away from us, or if they do something in a car who swerve in front of us and scares us, we get angry. Just the other day, I don't know what I did, but I was coming out of Fred Meyer, pulled in the lane, got on the freeway. And it was a beautiful day out. And there, I noticed there's a blue truck behind me. I don't know what I did. But as I got on the freeway, they sped past me. And then a guy rolls down a window, like a 20-year-old. And he put his whole upper body out the window. And he showed me his IQ. So, for those who don't know what that means, talk to Mike later. He'll explain that. And I'm driving, and I go, what? And I start laughing, which I'm sure didn't make him happy. But okay, there was some reason I told you that. I have no idea what it was. Anyway, what's that? Oh, anger. Oh, you know, sometimes we, thank you. Sometimes we don't know why we become angry, but it's usually because something that we're lost, or something, interruption of what we want to do, and it comes across our grain, become angry. Jesus deals with that very basic thing, because it has to do something else within us. Something of mercy, passion or compassion toward people. Something of a pure heart the right motive in life, that you love people, you care about people, and the things you do come from that right motive. And a peacemaker, you're always going to try to bring people together. Bring God and people together. It's like the thing that motivates you. You're not into things yourself, but you're into what God wants in life. And so that's basically some of the stuff that he talks about. But then he comes to this. 7:15. And he begins to explain to them some things because he wants them to see. He wants the hearers to hear some things to make them get a hold of themselves. And it does. Because that last two verses, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished or shocked. When he was finished with this, they were shocked at his teaching. They were thrown back. Something that grabbed them, that they heard some things here that were so different than they had known before or understood before. Jesus was saying some new things to them and it threw them back. And we're going to look this morning at one of the things. I mean, let me tell you. If you read the Sermon on the Mount and it doesn't throw you back, doesn't shock you, then you're not reading it with an open heart. When he talks about shall not commit adultery with a woman, you know. But he says, he that even thinks in his heart about that is committed adultery. Wow, how can that be? And so there's a whole view of this stuff that he's speaking to us that shocked them. Shock the hearers. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit. But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then, verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it is founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I wonder if we could just go to the Lord and ask Him to open our hearts to His Word. Father, how we need your understanding. How we need to have you enlighten us in some truths here. That we could be followers of your dear Son, Jesus. That we could build our house on the rock. That we wouldn't be wolves but sheep. and they would bear good fruit. Help us to learn these things. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at the first one. Beware of false prophets who came to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now I want you to note something, because when you read this, you'll kind of have this feeling, and I think it's a misconception of what he's saying because some of the wording. Because he goes on and he says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Okay, you're going to recognize these ravenous wolves by fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes and figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree, bad fruit. Now from that, you kind of have this, you kind of visualize in your mind, here's a tree, and it's lush, and on it is good fruit. Then over here is thistles and thorns, because that's what he says, and it has bad fruit. Well, that's really not what he's saying, the picture that we get. Because he doesn't say that you're going to recognize them by their tree. He doesn't say that. But you recognize them by their fruit, by something else. And you have good fruit and you have bad fruit. By the way, that word bad means poisonous. I mean, it's really going to affect you adversely. So you have good fruit, bad fruit, but the trees look similar. The reason why I say that is he begins this and he talks about there's false prophet, there's false Christians, we might say, who they look like sheep. They're in sheep clothing. They look good. They look just like you. You got the sheep clothing on and you're bad, you know, and you're being good, or you might say, you come to church and you even raise your hands in worship, and you have a duty or a job that you do in the church, and all things look good. Well, there's going to be some people who look good on the outside, but inside they're ravenous wolves. Now it's important for us to understand that, not so you can pick out people on the outside, because I'm telling you, you can't do that. In fact, Jesus told a parable in Matthew 13, the wheat and the tares. Remember that parable? And it says that there was a guy that sowed wheat, but then someone else came along, the enemy, and sowed weeds down. And then they came up, and the workers came in and says, didn't you sow wheat? Yeah, I sowed wheat. Well, I don't understand. There's wheat and there's weeds. What's going on? He says, oh, the enemy did that. And the worker says, okay, well, shall we go out and pull out the weeds? He said, no. He said, if you do that, you're going to pull some wheat by mistake, because you're going to think it's weeds, or the weeds are wheat, and you're just not going to be able to do it. He says, wait till the end time. Wait till it's all over, and those bad seeds, or that weeds, will be set apart and burned, and the other ones will be reaped. And so there's this thing. In any given church, or any, we call ourselves Christians, any religious Christian community, if I could put it that way, and I mean that that's how we view it in America. But in the Christian community, there's going to be those that look like sheep, but they're not. There's something else going on the inside. And out of them are coming bad fruit. They're gossips. They say things that are mean. They do things that are mean. And he said, so watch it. He said, beware of that. Beware of that. Beware in your group that there are people there who are probably ravenous wolves. They don't look like it, but they are. Because in reality, they don't care about you, they care about themselves. In reality, they care what they can get out of you instead of what they can put in you. In reality, their thoughts are selfish and self-motivated. They don't have a pure heart. They're double-minded in their way. They're selfish in their way. And if they can't get out of you what they want, then they'll go somewhere else to see what they can get out of someone else. Ravenous wolves. And in the context there, you see, Jesus is telling the people, the disciples and the scribes and the Pharisees, which one are you going to be? And who are you? Are you a ravenous wolf? And he says, you can tell them by their fruit, but even at that, it looks good. It looks good. Now, it's interesting what he says, though. A ravenous wolf. Poison fruit. Do you know what? My brain's failing me. Let me look at my notes. I had a thought there, and it is so gone. Oh yeah, there it is. I knew I had it in my notes. You know what the word ravenous means? Extortioner. You know what extortioner means? Blackmailer. And so it's hard for them to put their... They'll be blackmailing Christians. Because what does that mean? Well, when you read the context of everything that's going on here in the Sermon on the Mount, you begin to get an idea. Because you remember when he said in the sixth chapter, he talks about those that would pray, let me go to that. Beware of those that practice righteousness before the people. Do you remember that when we looked at that? Those who practice righteousness before the people in order to be seen of them. These are the blackmailers. They're trying to get something. They're doing things to be seen so that they can get something from you. Or more important than that, they can get something from God. And so they can blackmail God. Look what I've done. Look what I've seen. I mean, when you read that second part there in where he says, I never knew you, those who said, Lord, Lord. And he says, I never knew you. Well, what is that all about? Because when you read that, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. When you use the term Lord, Lord, that has to do with emotion and passion. You really mean it. And look at some of the things that they did. They prophesied in His name. In His name, they cast out demons in His name. And do many good works in His name. Good Pentecostal people. Thank you, Karen. I mean, these are people who... I mean, when you say, Lord, Lord, you have passion. It was like Absalom, Absalom, when David lost his son. It was heartrending. And so he used the name twice, and so it had such great passion and meaning and emotion. And so he's telling, there's going to be people who have great passion, and you'll see them doing things in my name. And he says, I'll say, I never knew you. Now that's got to get pause. That has to... Do something maybe to get a hold of you. Well, in the sixth chapter, it says, beware of those who practice righteousness before other people in order to be seen. See, this kind of people, they were doing things not for God, but even though they said it in His name, they were doing it for themselves. It all had to do about doing so that they could get something from God. Hey, what do you mean, Jesus, that you won't accept me? I did this and this and this. What's wrong with me? See, they did it to extort, to blackmail. Hey, I deserve something here because of what I'm doing. Do you get that point? I deserve. That's why people say, man, I don't understand what has happened to me. I go to church, I pay tithe, and it just seems like God doesn't hear my prayers. Where's that coming from? That's coming from that ravenous wolf inside of them. That isn't serving God because he's God, but serving God to get something out of God. And let me tell you right now, we don't deserve anything from God. Can you say amen to that? I'm just telling you. We don't deserve anything from God. I need God. I need his love. I need his hands in my life. And then he goes on, and in verse 2 of chapter 6, thus when you give to the needy, he talks about giving here, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. They're looking for praise. The word is honor. They're looking for glory. The word is glory. They're looking for something to feed their ego, to feed their selfishness, to feed their sinful nature. And maybe there's something inside of them, well, I want to do it for God, but they're doing it to be seen. Now that ought to give us pause. That ought to make us think, okay, where am I, Lord? Now, be careful here, because don't be looking at anybody else. And don't be questioning anybody else's motive. I don't care. I don't care how bad the fruit might look. Don't question people's motives. Just don't do it. You look at yourself. These things are for Dave Manning and for you. You look at yourself. Is there a hypocrite in you? Is there a selfishness in you? Is there something in you that really isn't seeking God? Why do people have to pressure you to work with children? Why do they have to pressure you to do some type of work for God? Instead of something that just comes out of a heart that loves God, want to please God? Why are you put off when you've worked hard and no one is telling you, we notice that you worked so hard? What is that? Why are you bothered when someone else is lifted up in position and you're not, and you have been doing all the things that they've been doing? What are those things that is percolating in your life? That's not God's stuff. That's something else. And so it needs to have us sit back for a moment. And not to say that you shouldn't be thanking people, because we ought to. Hey, I want to tell you that sermon Mike preached on peacemakers was one of the best sermons I've heard. Don't you agree with that? Did you that heard it? Oh, you don't. I'm sorry, Mike. No one else liked it, but I thought it was great. Yeah. Person that started clapping wasn't even here. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Carly. No, we ought to give honor where honor is due, Paul said. But I'm not talking about what others do. How about you? Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you live like you do? Is to get other people to notice your goodness and your greatness in your life? In verse 21, let me read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, cast out demons, do many mighty works? And will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to face some things ourselves. Be honest with you. It's interesting. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. I don't think I marked it. Oh, I did mark it. Good for me. Chapter 21 of Matthew. Jesus tells the parable of the two sons. In fact, let me just read it. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And the son said to him, "I go, sir," but did not go. And then Jesus said, so there's one son that says, "I'm not going," but end up going later on. And then the one says, "I'll go," but then he didn't go. And he says, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, now listen to this. Oh, this is going to slam religious people. This is going to slam us. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to this. As he tells scribes and Pharisees, as he tells many of us here, listen to what he says. Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom before the kingdom of God before you. What? Why could that be? How possibly could that be? That harlot and that guy that was so incredibly selfish and manipulated the system so he could get rich. And Jesus said, these guys, they're going to go before you. Okay, go home and think about that. Let me tell you what I think. The tax collectors and the prostitutes knew exactly who they were. The Pharisees did not. They thought they were righteous. They thought that they had a way with God because of their morality, because of their works on the outside. I mean, this is shocking thinking here. This messes us up in our theology. You will never be able to approach God by your works. In times, I look at Jesus, and he says, "I never knew you." Wait! What are you talking about? Every Sunday morning I preach faithfully. I told people about you. I prayed often. What do you mean? You don't know me. Hey, I'm the guy that has the church take the tithe out of my paycheck to pay it for me. I don't even get that. What do you mean you don't know me? Hey, wait a minute, time out. You don't understand. From time to time, I even prayed when no one saw me. Come on. Pause to think. Where are you in God? Do you know yourself? The prostitutes know they're prostitutes. The tax collectors know they're doing evil. How about you? You know your heart? How about the How about the different races that you don't like? The different ethnic groups that do things that you're mad at? And there's no mercy there. There's no compassion there. I just watched Red Tails. Did I talk about this already last week? I think it was this last week I watched it. Red Tails. Anybody know what Red Tails is? Rick would know. Yeah. Of course. World War II. All black. Army, Air Force. They were fighter pilots. And they were pushed to the back. Anything great, the white folk got there. And in the news clippings, there was a certain senator that tried to make the blacks look good, like they couldn't do it. They were weak. They were dumb. They ran under pressure from the enemy. And none of it was true. The news clipping began to put all these things. And why would that be? Because of the white influence of America. And I'm afraid in some ways that those things have influenced the church and Christians. You know, even in Oregon, it's appalling. Black people couldn't move to Oregon. And this is back in the 1800s, and there was a law that was made that if they did, you could beat them ever so often until they left. That is quiet. Yeah. So where is this? Where's the mercy? The red tails. They finally got into a place that they protected the, what do they call them? The fortresses, the bombing planes. B-17, right. Oh, I did a model of that as a kid. Anyway, B-17. Don't ask what that was. The B-17s. And that group was the only group that never lost one. But it didn't get praised. Didn't get acknowledged, except for those white guys that were flying those bombers, and when it came and they were going to go drop on Berlin, and they had the white fighters that were going to go, they asked for the black ones. The red tails. We want the red tail ones to come. True story. But we don't hear that. You know, where's our mercy? Where's our compassionate heart? You say, well, there's a lot of things going on back there that they shouldn't be doing. I know, let me come back. Where's the mercy? Well, yeah, but they're dealing drugs and they're... Stop it! Jesus will say, I never knew you. Come on! This is real Christianity. We serve a real Jesus. We live in a culture that has so many issues and the Christians are part of the problem. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other Christians. Let me see. I don't think that was in my notes. Doggone, it just came from my heart. Well, I went down that path and now I'm blank. Worship him, come on up. It would be a good place to just end it. A good place to evaluate. Are you a ravenous wolf? Do you have this blackmailed, that you want to blackmail God because of the things that you do? Blackmail other people, maybe those in authority, because of things you do, and you deserve something from them? You know, where are you? Are you trying to do service for God so that God will have to do something for you? Or do you do it because you see His love, His hand in your life, and you so want to serve Him, and you want to dedicate your life to His purpose and His glory? And what kind of house have you built? Have you built it on sand or on rock? Let me tell you, when you look at the house, it looks good. Just like a lot of Christians that go to church, they look good until the pressure comes. Until the winds and the waves come and the hardships, the difficulties of life. And then their true colors are shown, their real fruit. Well, don't look at them. Look at you. Are you building your life on Jesus Christ? Just one last thought. I have the scripture there in the last days in 2 Timothy. And he says there will be those who will live a certain way, but have a certain kind of godliness or righteousness, but they deny the power. Or the Word of God is not that powerful in their life, but they pick and choose to satisfy themselves and to feel good about it. Well, I do this, this, and this. But the Word of God is powerful, and as we put our life in Jesus Christ and we seek Him, the truth that is in Him, He gives us power. Gives us power to live for Him and to do those works rightly and correctly from a pure heart. Let's stand and sing this song. Oh Father, You see our hearts, and You know that our hearts, as we sing this, we do want to follow You. But we see in ourselves so many things that are selfish and unrighteous, ungodly. Help us to recognize those things in us. Help us to see that selfishness as a prostitute would acknowledge they're a prostitute. God, may we acknowledge our own selfishness so that we may begin to enter the kingdom of heaven. May we be broken. May we realize that we have nothing without You, and may we find that satisfaction in You. And when a world is out there and so pressing in and pulling us toward its direction like a black hole, help us to turn to You, Lord. See, I need You, Jesus. I need Your presence, Your glory in my life. Oh, do that, Father. Do that in us. We acknowledge You as the Lord of our life. We acknowledge You as the hope of our future. We acknowledge You as the only resource that brings about anything of greatness within us by Your grace, by Your mercy, Your power within us. We acknowledge You, God, as our only hope in life. And we thank You. Bless as we go today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.